Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
If you listened to our last episode, you heard me talk about how we're going to pick up some speed as we move forward. Well, we're going to, but not today. Proverbs chapter 14, we're only going to look at one verse. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4 says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean." Simple, right? The latter part of the verse. "But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." Well, the image is clear. We know what this means. If you do not have any oxen, then you're going to have a clean stall. You're going to have little work for that you're going to have to do. There's going to be less expense for whoever owns, you know, that stall, because they're going to have to pay someone to clean. They're going to have to pay someone to feed. But there's a flip side to this. If there's a clean stall and there's more money in your pocket because you're not having to pay to take care of these oxen, you're also not going to have as much of a crop. So let's look at the flip side of that. If you have oxen, then there's going to be an abundance of dirty work for you. You're going to have to clean that stall. You're going to have to replace the hay. That means you're going to be having to shovel some things that you really don't because they stink. But there's more of a likelihood that you're going to have the abundance of crops. So the imagery here that is being pictured for us is dirty work is what is necessary to produce results. If you're lazy and if you don't have work to do, then are you really and truly producing the outcomes that you want? Now, we read this and, oh, that's just kind of a nice little proverb. Thanks for sharing, Joel. But we don't understand the cultural impact here. You know, oxen during this time period, they were considered an animal of high esteem. The oxen were used to help plow and break up the hard ground for fields. They were used in order to be part of threshing floors. They were there to help, you know, use the corn to grind that at often your millstones. You know, they provided milk. They provided butter. They were offered as sacrifices, you know, in Israel. They were rarely eaten, but at sometimes they would. But I mean, you've got to understand that these oxen, they were integral to the life of a Hebrew during this time period. And one of the things that's interesting here, that when we read some things too quickly, like the first part of verse 4, where there are no oxen. The structure of this in our English translation is not "where there is no ox." It says "where there are no oxen." By implication, that means more than one. Now, that's important because typically you would have oxen that would be yoked together. So they would be paired up in order to plow. And often the way that this would be done is the farmer would have those oxen. One would be an experienced ox. One would be young. And they would pair them together, not so that, you know, the strength of that young ox would be able to balance the age of the older one. It's the exact opposite. That older ox, that older animal, would be teaching that younger one how to harness his strength to do what needed to be done. So this is something that we need to make sure that we understand here. But that is a wonderful symbolism of the master and the teacher that we so often see Solomon using throughout the book of Proverbs. There's an older, more experienced, the wise one, who is teaching the simple, the one that doesn't know any better. So oxen would often, you know, if they were in a group, be used to just kind of go on about their way. And there was a goad. It was a stick that had been shaved to a sharp point that they would use to kind of poke and get them headed in certain directions. So you have to understand that is an important part of their culture as well. It was that direction that was necessary. And what we need to understand about that is important for us in wisdom. You know, because think about Saul, on the way to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him What did he ask him? Hey, are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you resisting the goad, the direction that I'm trying to give you? We do that every day with what we choose to avoid, oftentimes with wisdom. But you know what? There were specific laws that were also written that the Jews and the Hebrews needed to follow based on oxen. Number one is that if they were out treading corn, they were not to muzzle that ox. The imagery here is that, you know, I want to save as much of that corn that I can for my own personal profit, so I'm going to muzzle that ox so they can't eat some of the corn that they're treading out. I'm going to save it all for profit. And what the Mosaic Law has done is like, no, they are working. You need to take care of them. But there's a second piece here that we need to understand is that there was also Mosaic laws that commanded that the oxen were to rest on the Sabbath day. Yes, they may be an animal, but they should be respected and they should be allowed to rest. So these are some of the cultural implications that we see here with this oxen. But you're thinking, Joel, I don't listen to this podcast for these wonderful cultural and historical truths about animals. What is the point here? Well, the title of this episode is The Abundance. And we need to understand that if there's going to be an abundance of, I hate to use this term, but I'm going to just for this purpose. If there's going to be an abundance of profit on the backside, there has to be an abundance of effort on the front side. Let's use wisdom as our example. If we want to have an abundance of wisdom in our lives, how do we get that? Well, we don't just sleep with a book on our face and hope that we absorb it. No. We have to read. We have to reflect. We have to repeat what we see as examples. If we want that abundance of wisdom on the backside, there's effort that we have to put into on the front end to get there. That's what this verse is really laying out for us. Because again, if, you know, as Solomon says, if the manger is clean, you don't have any oxen. But if the oxen are there, yes, there's going to be a lot of cleaning and a lot of work and a lot of expense that you're going to have to take care of, but it'll pay off in the end. You know, a friend of mine several years ago got me into a coaching cycle, and I really appreciated him doing this. And one of the things that was said I thought was very interesting is, oh, this is just a sales pitch. But the comment was, if you're not willing to invest in yourself, then why should I be either? And that made me step back and think about it, because that's this aspect. If you want to reap the rewards, but you don't want to put forward the required effort, well, really, if I just try and pour information into you, it's not really going to matter, because you're not willing to work for it. It's this aspect of abundance. If you want an abundance of wisdom, you have to really get down to do the work. So let's take that and let's apply that into our lives and into our leadership in four different ways. Number one, dirty work is necessary to earn a desired wish. You have to do the dirty work. One of the things that we in our lives, with our children or with our spouses or at work with colleagues or direct reports, that we don't like to do is we don't like to have those tough conversations. We don't like confrontation, but you know what? That's part of the dirty work. That's part of, in using the analogy here, cleaning the stall in order to make sure that everyone is headed in the same direction. You have to constantly check on the progress towards the goal, and those tough conversations are important. So if you want the abundance of the harvest being reaped, then you're going to have to break up the stony, solid ground in order for the seed to take root. So dirty work is necessary for us to earn a desired wish. Secondly, most people see the end result, but few see the effort required. You know, we all want to be a success, right? But are we willing to put in the effort to become successful? We will look at someone that is successful. Maybe they've written 5, 10, 12 books, or maybe they're running a highly successful church, or they're a successful school administrator, or whatever. Fill in the blank with what you see as success. They didn't just get there. They worked their way to get to that point. We don't see the failures that they had. We see the success that they have right now, but we don't see all the lessons they had to learn along the way. You know, I had this conversation with a good friend of mine regarding, you know, what we see with you know, kids that come right out of college. They immediately want to have the lifestyle of their mom and dad, the cars, the bigger house, you know, the trips that they may take. But what they fail to see is that their mom and dad are in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, whereas this kid is in their 20s. They want what mom and dad have without the 20, the 30, or the 40 years of effort that it took to get there. Most people see the end result, but few see the effort that's required. That's what this really verse right here is unpacking for us. So let me make this a true spiritual application, because if you remember in our last episode, we talked about if you only leave your family a financial inheritance, you've missed the point. We need to leave them a spiritual legacy. So if you want to leave your family a true spiritual legacy, you need to be studying wisdom and truth every single day. You need to be applying wisdom and truth every single day into your life. That means being in God's Word. That means praying and, you know, to the Lord, asking for wisdom. That means associating with godly men and women that can take you closer to Him. But then you don't just get those things. You, in turn, have to turn around and teach those things to your children. But most importantly, not only should you be teaching them to your children, you better be living them in your life. Because if you're teaching one thing and living another, the message will not leave the appropriate legacy that you want. So number one, dirty work is necessary to earn a desired want. Number two, most see the end result, but few see the effort required. Number three, working within your strength often creates stinky situations. Now, that sounds weird, but there's 100% truth behind that. When we spend time and effort doing the things that we enjoy, we often fail to step back and to take time to clean up ourselves. You know, as a kid, I used to love to play basketball, and I would go out in the heat of the summer and would play basketball for hours. You know, I would come home, you know, with sweat all over me. I'd come home with dirt all over me. And, you know, as a middle-ager or high school man, I just stunk. What would my mom do? Boy, go take a shower. Well, we failed to do that in our regular lives. We failed to take the effort to get clean. And no, I'm not talking about getting in a shower and bathing. Talking about our spiritual life. You know, think about Daniel. What we know about Daniel from the Old Testament is that he was part of a defeated nation. He was taken to the foreign nation and made to be one of these wise men. He had to do what the king wanted. But he took a stand for what was right. He interpreted the king's dream. He told them hard truths. He lived an example of God. He was told, "You quit praying to your God, or you're going to be tossed into a lion's den." And what did he do? He kept praying to God anyway. But if you get towards the end of that book, you will see that he spends time in prayer doing what? Confessing his sins and confessing the sins of his people. When we become so focused on wisdom and doing things right, but we fail to step back and go, you know what, we're doing a lot of things wrong and I need to humbly submit this to God. That's what I'm talking about here. Yes, working within your strength, you can see success, but it creates stinky situations because you're still going to mess up. You need to learn from those mistakes and you need to use those failures to draw closer to your Heavenly Father. Finally, where you rest influences how you return. Let me say that one more time. Where you rest influences how you return. Let's go back to this verse with this stall. It says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean." There's no one there. So by implication, if the oxen are there, if they have done their work, then they are going to come in stinky, smelly. We know what they're going to do naturally in that stall. So That third point about working within your strength creates stinky situations. But notice verse 4, the latter part, abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. If that manger is allowed to just be filled with filth, and that's the place that the oxen come back to rest, what's going to happen? They're not going to be at their best. It's a place where disease could become rampant unless it is cleaned. It's something that would not be beneficial for that animal, and it would certainly not promote them being strong. That's important for you to understand. Where you rest influences how you return. You know, I'm sitting here right now recording this podcast during the holidays where I am unplugged and away from work. You know what? You need to do that. You need to truly unplug and get away. You know, oftentimes you will see college professors or authors or pastors, they'll take a sabbatical. They will take some time to get away from the normal routine in order to relax, to rest, and recharge. But I say that to say this. If you take a sabbatical, if you take time away, and all you do is watch movies or watch TV or do something that is not worthwhile, then what's going to happen when you return? You're not going to return as sharp as you could have been. So the choice is yours. We have to make sure that we understand that these verses that we see in Proverbs aren't just, oh, this is a neat little saying. There is gold here if we're willing to dig in and to unearth it, to apply to our lives as well as to our leadership. So let's go through this one more time. Number one, dirty work is necessary to earn a desired want. Number two, most see the end result, but few see the effort required. Number three, working within your strength often creates stinky situations. And finally, where you rest influences how you return. I bet you didn't think we could learn that much from oxen and a clean stall. But Solomon has tremendous truth for us. There's an abundance that exists if we're willing to put the work in on the front end. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. The strength of your wisdom will determine the strength of the legacy that you leave for your family, for your friends, and for your colleagues. So choose wisely. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.